This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. A year after the start of the Iraq War, more than 200,000 men and women have served in Iraq. In any war, only about 20% of military personnel engage in combat, and an even smaller number kill in battle. But to take life, even in the context of war, is often morally complicated, and it can have serious psychological repercussions for soldiers. Reporter Elise Spiegel talked to one expert who has studied the experience, and two former soldiers who have killed in battle.
Oral Stallings had killed before. He had already been in a dozen or so firefights in Vietnam. This time, though, was different. He actually watched the distant figure running towards the tree line crumple and then fall, a clean, confirmed kill. But then Stallings approached the body and saw that the man had no weapon, no uniform, and there was something else that bothered him.
When I turned him over, it was probably about the age of my father, I don't know, 50 years old or so, you know, just... And I stuffed it immediately, you know, I had to stuff it. I got Marines around me, clapping me on the back and saying, "Oh, righteous kill, oh, Stallings, you did good, man, all right, good shot." But I know that inside, I felt very, very sick.
Not everyone responds this way. Roughly 30 years later, another soldier, Randy, led a special ops unit through Afghanistan. Randy doesn't want us to use his full name, but like Vietnam veteran Oral Stallings, Randy is a soldier who's killed an enemy in battle.
I know for sure that I directly killed one person. I know that I shot him twice in the chest at close range. There was nothing to it. Nothing. No real remorse for having killed him.
Vietnam veteran Oral Stallings, on the other hand, became paralyzed by remorse, a feeling of doom which followed Stallings back to the United States, where he was eventually diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. He was hospitalized, given counseling, but somehow his sense of guilt over the lives he took persisted.
I'm sure I'll be working on that until my very last breath, that I'm an okay person, that I did what I had to do at the time, and that's not going to condemn me to hell.
In contrast, Randy says that he has never questioned the actions he took on behalf of his country in Afghanistan.
You know, when I pull out the pictures and look at the pictures, and there'll be some dead bodies in the pictures and so on and so forth, you just quickly think about it. But I don't think anything negative or positive. Sometimes I think, you know, can you believe it? This person really wanted to take on the might of the U.S. military, and we killed him for it, or I killed him, or whatever.
There's surprisingly little research on the psychological impact of killing in combat, why one man suffers over his action while the other simply moves on. Experts think the rate of PTSD is well below 50%, but no scientific studies actually have been done on killing in combat. One person who has looked specifically at this issue is Dave Grossman, a former psychology professor at West Point. Grossman's written a book called On Killing, which offers some insight into which soldiers might be vulnerable to PTSD as a result of killing, and which are likely to emerge unscathed. The first thing he points out is that individual attitudes towards killing are influenced by constantly shifting cultural attitudes. During the Civil War, for example, it was common for soldiers to speak openly about the number of people they had killed.
Putting notches on a rifle for the number of people you killed was very, very common. Today, we would think that anybody puts notches on their rifle is pathological, and yet that behavior once upon a time was perfectly acceptable.
In fact, it used to be that one of the ways that countries kept track of who was winning a war was through body counts. This practice was discontinued sometime during Vietnam, and today in Iraq, there are no body counts of Iraqi soldiers killed. In fact, according to Grossman, the military itself now keeps the idea of killing at a safe and sanitized distance.
You'll read 100 military manuals, and you'll never see the word kill. You know, the mission of the infantry. What's the mission of the infantry? To close with and destroy the enemy through means of fire maneuver in close combat. What's the one word that's not in there? Kill.
But euphemisms aren't a shield when soldiers come face to face with the fact that they've killed. That's why Grossman teaches a course called the Bulletproof Mind, to educate soldiers about what to expect from themselves when the moment finally arrives. In the course of writing his book On Killing, Grossman interviewed literally hundreds of men who had killed, after which he concluded that the act of killing could really be divided into five distinct stages. In the first stage, soldiers question whether or not they're capable of taking life. The second stage is the actual kill, the physical response of body and mind at the moment life is taken. Then Grossman identifies a stage, which he says is an emotionally complicated part of many soldiers' experience. exhilaration.
You've hit your target. You saved your life. You saved your friend's life. It's perfectly understandable that it should feel good.
Again, Randy, who served in Afghanistan.
Some guy just tried to kill me. He was actively trying to kill me, and I killed him. That feels good.
Psychology professor Dave Grossman says this exhilaration is often followed by the fourth stage of killing, remorse.
Especially if you're up close and personal and you actually see the person die and you watch another vital living human being gurgle out their last breath, the full magnitude of what happened tends to hit you, and there's this backlash of remorse and nausea.
Oral Stallings certainly struggled with remorse after killing the old Vietnamese man.
I was just filled with so much shame that I had committed the ultimate sin. Thou shalt not kill. You know, God, Jesus, it didn't matter no more. I had already condemned my soul to hell. Can you follow what I'm saying on that one?
Stallings wasn't able to rationalize his own actions, and Grossman's work suggests that an ability to rationalize and accept what you've done is key to mental health. He considers rationalization and acceptance the fifth and final stage of killing. It hinges on the ability of the soldier to see his actions as right, appropriate, and lawful, which in turn depends, at least in part, on the response of those around him, his comrades, his leadership, unit, family, town, and finally, his society, six rings which make up a soldier's emotional support network.
One of those rings could turn on the veteran, and they can probably be all right. But if a systematic set of those, you know, the family, the society, all turn on the individual, that has capacity to be pretty hard.
Grossman points out that there are a number of traditions that specifically reinforce the soldier's perception that he has done right. For example, combat medals.
The medal is a talisman, an actual physical manifestation that says what they did was right.
You can see the evidence of the stages and influences that Grossman identifies in the lives of Oral Stallings and Randy. All of the circles that Grossman describes were intact when Randy returned from Afghanistan. He returned to a public largely supportive of the war and says his marriage and family life are rock solid. Moreover, today Randy is in law enforcement, a community where lawful killing is seen as sometimes necessary.
This is going to sound cold, but if it's right and it's correct, then it's almost meaningless with me now. It's just something that has to be done.
On the other hand, when Oral Stallings returned from Vietnam, he returned not only to an ambivalent public, but also to a chaotic family life. In other words, more than one of the rings Grossman describes had collapsed, and Stallings is still trying to recover.
Have I forgiven myself? No, I'm still working deeply on that one.
American military men and women again are facing the moral ambiguity of having to kill in battle. And again, the American public is engaged in a conversation about whether a war is justified. Whatever conclusions come out of this conversation, psychology professor Dave Grossman is sure that the debate will affect some returning soldiers.
If we're going to make extensive political hay off of some aspect of the war that didn't turn out as we thought it would, then that's fine. But understand there will be a price. And the price becomes potentially the emotional welfare of those individuals who are coming home.
For Grossman, the only question is how many soldiers will be bothered, and also to what degree. For NPR News, this is Elise Spiegel in Washington.